This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, May 3rd, 2026.
As always, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before you and attempt to deliver the message God has laid on my heart for us today. And in this special time, I ask through the words of Paul, when he spoke about the armor of God, he said, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." So, you know, I was just saying to the pastor when we were having our pre-service prayer that two steps forward and one step back, a phrase we're familiar with, is still progress. And sometimes we need to be steadfast in our efforts to keep moving forward. I had some challenges this morning, but I am going to attempt to deliver a two-part message. I ended last time with a recommendation, something I started doing. The word of the Lord is so powerful, and hearing it as well as reading it and receiving it is critical to that armor, the preparation, and our prayer. So I took up the habit on a daily basis of reciting aloud these scriptures, which we're going to feed some of what I talk about today. The first being from Romans 10. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The image of God. We are created in the image of God. What is that? What does that mean? I'm going to start off with an opening about religion and science. We are so-called having a conflict between religion and science. Many early philosophers believed in God. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. They were searching for the divine. They realized, which is plain to us, we're paying attention, that nature and God are combined. They are connected. God is outside of his creation, but he's also inside of his creation, and he is clearly visible. I hope that that comes across. Augustine of Hippo and Thomas Aquinas were believers that showed that not only are religion and science compatible, but connected. And this is where we get into the idea of that image and the creation and what it presents to us. They knew that because we can understand creation, it has an intelligibility. We have intelligence, and I do believe that this is at least part of the image of God that we were created in. We have the capacity to think. I'll get into that a little more further on. What they saw, what they see, is the intelligibility of the creation. As science progresses, it has become even more clear. Recent developments have actually pointed to in the one aspect, the design and the idea that there's a designer, there are certain facets to the creation that we were created with the ability to discover. Many of your sciences depend upon presuppositions. We can't have science without certain items being accepted right off the start, and they're available in nature. Mathematics is 1 and 1 equals 2. But without a mind that can comprehend, we wouldn't even have that. So, the expanding universe points to a beginning. What are the first words? In the beginning. There's been a lot of effort by some scientists to try to disprove this. That, oh, no, it's always existed. And then there's evolution that, oh, no, we created ourselves. But the expanding universe points to a beginning. If you go all the way back, the Big Bang is what they're saying was the beginning. Kind of sounds like that creation account in Genesis. Then there's the fine-tuning that makes life possible. The way the atoms work, the way the universe is built, the chemicals, the interactions, all these things are very precisely organized and created that it would sustain life. This little marble in the midst of billions of galaxies. You know, when the spaceship went around the back of the moon and it came back into the view of Earth, it wasn't that there was this expanse and it's so minuscule. No. How important, how critical, how real is this little planet that we live on? There's a purpose for that. So this leads me to what separates us from the animals. Now, some of you may have heard me talk about this before. There may be a few things you recognize, but in the beginning they tried to find a way to separate us from the rest of the animal kingdom. And the first idea was, well, you have language. Well, turns out animals have language. Well, we make tools. Well, it turns out there are animals that make tools. Well, we use tools to make tools. Guess what? There are animals that do that too. So what really separates us? I said at the beginning that we are created in the image of God, and at least part of that is our ability to understand. Well, it turns out that what separates us is the ability to describe an abstract thought and have another person understand that abstract thought. It's a different kind of communication. It's what God gave us that we can not only recognize the intricacies of nature, which is indeed science, which, if you know the truth, church and religion began the sciences. But it's this understanding, it's this ability to perceive and share. So now we get to language in the message. What did I read? Lord, who has believed our message. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. That's what we have. That's what our image is. That is how we can know God, know his salvation, and be able to share that knowledge with other people. It's what we're called to do. I've talked about that often. But how does it relate to that message? How do we understand? We understand by story. I want to read a scripture from 2 Samuel. And this is when the prophet Nathan went to David. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah, and all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. If you're not familiar with the Old Testament enough to know the story, David slept with the man's wife, and to try to erase the problem, he said, come, take a night, stay in the city so that you can be refreshed. And he thought maybe he would get together with his wife, and that way their pregnancy could be explained. But what he didn't know about this man, he would refuse to be with his wife. He said, I can't do this while my men are still fighting. He slept in a tent, went back out. So now David's like, what am I going to do? He sends him to the front line so that he would be in danger, that he might lose his life. And now, another way of erasing the problem. And when Nathan told this story to David, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. What's the point of this? Nathan used the story that David could understand. It brought him to a frame of mind where he felt this was a terrible thing. He made that clear to him, and then he showed him how it was his own actions that were the same. He used story that he was able to understand to get the message across. So, we understand by story. And there are stories throughout the Bible. In fact, the prophet used that story to show David his sin. But if we can now look at Luke 10. Luke 10:25-37. Jesus used parables. He's told stories throughout his life, his time here on earth. And on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And what does Jesus do? He launches into a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So in this instance, Jesus was using a story once again to put in this man's mind the image of what was going on, what was necessary. It's also an interesting story, and I have deep theological discussions with my friend at Andy's Diner, who's the busboy, but he's so much more than that. And he was telling me about a pastor was teaching him that these guys were actually doing what they were taught to do according to the law. Now, Jesus is speaking to one of the experts of the law. And if you know anything about that time, the religious people were not permitted to have any contact with dead or death or the sickness. So they were kind of doing what they were supposed to do by avoiding them. And if it doesn't come clear right away, it just points out that sometimes, just as Jesus healing on the Sabbath, one of the two main things that the religious leaders of the time held against him. Why are you healing on the Sabbath? Well, sometimes he said to him, would you have your donkey fall into the well? Would you bring it out? If there, you perform circumcision on the Sabbath to fulfill that Moses' law while breaking it. So there are occasions when you need to break the law to keep God's law, which was what he said at the beginning, wasn't it? To love your neighbor as yourself. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So, we could go through so many parables and stories, but it becomes clear that this is how he communicated. This is how we communicate to each other, with story. We can understand the bigger concepts, that which the rest of the animal kingdom is unable to do. And the Bible has been called the greatest story ever told. And as I like to say, my recommendation, if you haven't done it, read the Bible cover to cover. I was listening to a TV show, and there was a celebrity, and they said that for the first time in their life, they read the Bible start to finish, and it transformed their life. There's something that happens. There is a story that you do not get the full image of, the overarching message of what that whole Bible is telling us. Yes, it's God's love letter to us, but through that full story is an understanding that comes clear. It's how we can get the full image of who God is. That's why he gave it to us. It wasn't just created out of nothing. The Spirit used people to deliver God's message. Every word inspired and true. So we have the unified story of the Bible, God's love letter to us. And again, I go back to science. And again, what has been discovered, which supports the marvel of creation. I've been getting into AI, and I could go into a lot of detail, but I just want to point out one thing. It's called the Generative Adversarial Network, GAN, AIGAN. And basically what they have been able to do is create two entities within the AI. One generative, like this part comes up with ideas. And then there's the adversarial, which tries to counteract those ideas. And it can talk back and forth and therefore refine the thought process in AI. Well, guess what? It's actually a copy. We have a brain. And it has a left and a right hemisphere. And they're doing this already. This is how we were created. So once again, we have just discovered another intricacy of God's creation. All of AI is really just a mimicking of what God created in us. Comprehension, the ability to understand. To support this a bit, I want to read from Proverbs 2. This is 1-9. It's called The Moral Benefits of Wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. It not only speaks to our ability to understand, it not only speaks to the wonderful way that he created us to be able to receive this kind of information, but that we have opportunity to grow and mature and learn. And that's what brings me to the second scripture. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I said two parts, and part one was storytelling, and part two is the renewing of your mind. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, I've been blessed to have opportunity to attend different groups. My schedule hasn't been as heavy. Back to work, I'm glad to say. But we've been doing the Shepherd's Club. I have the Wednesday Bible study. But we have also gone to a pastor's prayer meeting. And it came up that this idea of the sacrifice, what is worship? Worship is our singing. Worship is the music. Worship is giving glory to God. But it says here, Paul says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. This is how we make that connection with God. This is how we fully accept and become that image of what he created us to be. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see, this is the capability we have. And I want to relate a story. I won't go into it word for word. You may have heard about the two wolves. It's actually an American Indian parable of sorts, where the son asks, you know, what about the meaning of life? And the elder says, well, there are two wolves that live in every person. One that represents all the evil that we might do, and one that resembles the good. And the boy asks, which one's stronger? And the answer was, the one you feed. When we develop bad habits, they can take over. When we don't live for him and live for ourselves, when we pursue our own desires, we can get off track. And that can become a habit that can be hard to break. How do we break it? Proverbs also says, by love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. By the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. You can't change what's past, but you can change things going forward. And that's how we do it. God stands by ready to accept our living sacrifice, which will bind us to him as we develop the good habits that come from spending time in the Word, praying, being aware of his presence, and seeking what he has prepared for us to do. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 11. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. When we develop that connection to God, when we allow him to mature in us and we mature in him. There's a story about my house, God's love, my home. And it talks about how the person used to welcome God into every room of the house. And then one by one, well, you know, I want to do what I want to do. You're not welcome in this room. You're not welcome in that room. And then sooner or later, it gets to the point where you're barely spending any time with him. But when we let God occupy our entire lives, this is the goal. As I said at the beginning, before I even started, it's often two steps forward and one step back. We will stumble, but If we're following these instructions, we will not fall. We will not completely fall. We can always, one step away, come back to our Lord and Savior, who will direct our paths and allow us to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him, our bounden duty and service. So renewing our minds, once again, science talks about how we can build new pathways and the neurons and all that. But what's it saying? That if we're on the right path, if we're seeking the right path, if we're asking, and this is important, I've said that God will grease the rails when you're going in the right direction, and He'll make you uncomfortable when you're going in the wrong one. But there's two big ifs that go with that. If you're asking Him for direction, and if you're looking for it. If you are not looking in the right direction, the adversary will grease the rails in the wrong direction. You'll feel perfectly comfortable going right off a cliff. But God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to go off that cliff. So He's going to put obstructions in our way. He's going to, if He starts off with a whisper, He'll end with a megaphone, yelling in our ear, bringing us back. And know that no matter what has happened in the past, no matter where you are, you're always just one step away from going in the right direction towards Him and the life He has prepared for you to live. Father God, I thank You that You have created us with the ability to know You. That our image, the image You created us in, can know You, can know Your love, and understand what Jesus did for us. And moreover, that we can share that message with others. How will they know if no one tells them? How will they hear if no one speaks it? We need to be forward. We need to be going out. We need to be bold, as I asked for myself. When we deliver the message of the gospel, that we would be bold and courageous. Thank You, Lord, for this. I ask Your blessing upon it, and that Your message will have gone forward and not returned empty, but accomplished all You sent it out to do. I am not the creator. I am not the author. You are. And I just pray that Your words would be the words that go forward for the benefit of all. By the power of the Spirit, to the glory of God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.